Hi, everybody. This is Phil the Issues Guy from issuesprogram.com and Phil the Issues Guy on YouTube. Do you like television? Do you like talking about television? Do you have problems and can't sleep at night? If you get any of those things are true, come on down and join Phil the Issues Guy on YouTube, Phil's Recap and Review, or check out issuesprogram.com to check out our stuff. Basically, what we do is we talk a lot about television, some movies, but mainly television. We do post-episode recaps, live viewings, drunk commentary games, and just general analysis. So if you love television, you don't have a ton of people to talk about television, or you just cannot get enough of some of these awesome shows like Vikings, Better Call Saul, Westworld, Game of Thrones, even The Walking Dead, and some other random shows that just pop up here and there. If you cannot get enough of all those programs and you want to talk about them, jump on over, join in the live motherfucking chat with some of the best people in the world that all share their thoughts real time whenever we go live. So if you subscribe to the YouTube channel, you follow the YouTube channel by clicking that little bell thing, you can find out anytime we go live. You can also check out issuesprogram.com for a backload of all of our stuff and check out our podcast on Stitcher, iTunes, and lots of other places. Huge thanks to all of you, and hope you check it out and hope you enjoy it. And I'll talk to you guys next time.
Hello, bastards and wenches, and welcome to another episode in this series of Anime Boston 2017 interview specials. On today's episode, we'll be chatting with Brina Palencia, one of our favorite voice actors in the business. You might remember her as Tamama in Sergeant Frog, CL Phantom Hive in Black Butler, Hideyoshi in Baka and Test, and Holo in Spice and Wolf. B3 was also joined by Mythical Entertainment and Toonami Faithful for this little presser. So let's get things rolling with the Anime Boston 2017 press interview featuring Brina Palencia.
7 seeds to plant inside of me. In springtime I grew a magic song. Then skip along, I sound the song to everyone. I look at the world through a poor eye and cut myself.
Hi, my name is Alexandra and I work with Mythical Entertainment. I was just wondering what your experience has been like as a woman in the entertainment industry.
The cool thing about being a woman in the voice acting industry is that there is a lot less there are fewer barriers to have to cross when you're doing voiceover as a woman. But I also do on camera. Being on camera as a woman kind of sucks. there's a lot more importance put on your appearance to play a role. So even though acting wise you might be able to really wrap your mind around a certain role, if you aren't hot enough, a lot of times you just don't get it. But yeah, so I would say that in that regard, being a woman in the voice acting world is a definite plus, because you also get to play male roles. I will say what's interesting is getting to see a huge contrast, getting to play the male roles and the female roles. There's a huge contrast, because I know, like, when I play my character, CL Phantom Hive, he's super, super layered and has so much depth and is so fascinating. And then I play female roles, and there's not really any that really compare to just how much thought was put into the role of CL. Now, granted, that's also just because that show is dope. But it is interesting to see, because I mean, I've gotten to play some pretty cool female roles, but it's rare that they'll go as far as they do with a male character.
Very cool. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for that question.
CJ Mappers with ToonamiFaithful.com.
CJ Mappers?
Mappers.
Oh, Mappers.
I get confused all the time. It's okay.
Mappers is dope, too. I like the idea of you making maps, though.
Maybe I will look into that after this.
That'd be awesome. Please do.
I don't mean to bum you out. Sadly, One Piece is not on the block anymore.
I know.
Curious,
yeah.
What your thoughts are about that, and where do you think the series will go from there?
I don't really know. I guess I am lucky in the fact that I'm also in Tokyo Ghoul. Yeah, so I don't really feel like I'm necessarily missing out. Also, it doesn't really matter for me because I don't have cable, and I also don't get residuals on anime. So it doesn't make, like, I don't know. I mean, I guess it sucks. I hate that the fans are going to have to try harder to get One Piece stuff because One Piece is awesome. But it's also cool that fans get to be exposed to Tokyo Ghoul because probably a lot of them didn't know that much about the show before. So I'm kind of whatever about it, I guess would be the answer.
Evan Bargo from Boston Bash Brigade. It's great seeing you again.
Yes, good to see you as well.
So, in Black Butler, Book of Circus, there's this part where CL instead does the joke for the Undertaker, and no one knows exactly what it is. And I'm curious to know if you have your own personal theory of how he made the Undertaker laugh.
In my opinion, I think just the... I think just the idea of him attempting to make a joke is really funny to me. Personally, CL being anything but dark is kind of hilarious. So, I don't know. I think to me, for The Undertaker, it would have been just a blast to see him go over and over and over again trying to do anything that was remotely funny. That's my theory.
I know we just talked a little briefly about male versus female voice acting roles, but are you noticing more progressive roles for women in the industry?
Yes and no. It seems like a few years ago it was kind of like you had a lot of in-between roles, and I feel like right now it's all either jiggly titties or something as awesome as Snow White with the red hair, Shiryuki and Snow White with the red hair. So it's like, it's really bizarre. I don't know why it's suddenly super extreme versions of that. There's not a whole lot in the middle that I have noticed. So yeah, I have no idea. I don't know what that means.
Okay. Thank you.
Back to Tokyo Ghoul, what should you tell fans to expect considering your role as Toko, who is really beloved by a lot of Tokyo Ghoul fans? I think she's one of the more favorite characters, and the fact that you get to voice her, I think, must be a nice feeling for you to be able to, you know, showcase your stuff about being a pretty badass ghoul.
Yeah, no, Toka is really cool. And she's, well, I feel weird saying this next statement since I just said she was really cool. She's a lot like me. I'm not that cool. But the thing is, her personality, it's not that hard for me to do. Like, it's a really easy role for me to just fall into. So with that show, I had to record part of it in Los Angeles, and so Mike McFarland, who's the director, asked me to watch some of the episodes so that when we did our Skype sessions, it would just kind of run more smoothly. And so I watched the first season, and as I was watching it, my husband came into the room, and he knew that I was watching it for research, and he knew that I was going to be in the show, and he just kind of watches the screen for like a few seconds, and he was like, "You the purple hair?" And I was like, "Yeah." He's like, "Yeah, that's right." So that's, yeah, there's something about just that, I don't know, that sort of guarded, like, but still kind sort of whatever that I am really drawn to, and I feel like I really... It's just easy. It's an easy role for me. But yeah, I think this show does a really good job of that, trying to marry two worlds and two cultures. I think it's a really good allegory for that kind of life.
Which character that you have voiced personally do you see as your anime spirit animal or guide of sorts?
My anime spirit animal? Wow. I mean, probably Chopper. Like, I can't think of any other character that I would want to just hang out with me all the time. Like, because the rest of them tend to be a bit more brooding. And Tamama would be another choice, but Tamama is insane. From Sergeant Frog. I think he could be a little bit scary, whereas Chopper, I think, would just always be super nice, and he's so loyal. And he's a doctor. That's great. I mean, he freaks out under a crisis, but I could deal with that.
At least he's adorable when he does it.
Yes, exactly.
I know you've done some work in the video game industry as well. Have you noticed any drastic differences between voice acting for anime and voice acting for video games?
Yeah, definitely. I think that, like, whereas in anime, the question you asked me before, in anime I'm seeing, like, the huge differences, like, the total opposite ends of the spectrum. I feel like in the video game world, they're actually doing a really good job fleshing out all characters. I mean, it's so cinematic. And a lot of the roles that I've gotten to read for video games, I get more excited about those than I do even the stuff that I read for TV. I feel like the video game industry in general is just, I mean, it's definitely booming, but it's also just from a writing aspect, it's kind of kicking everybody else's asses, if you ask me. Just as far as well-rounded, deep characters. So I've had an awesome time getting to do video game stuff. Yeah.
A big show, or at least a show that's getting a big push here at Anime Boston, is My Hero Academia. It's a favorite among a lot of Toonami viewers wanting it on the block as well. How do you feel about the show? Could it potentially be on the block? Do you feel, in your personal opinion, how do you feel about Mineta? That's kind of a interesting character from what your range has been.
But. Yeah, Mineta's really fun. It's always fun whenever you get to do something new, and I definitely feel that way about him, because he's a perv, which is kind of funny to play that opposite side. And also, I really love getting to do a lift. That's been really fun. And difficult, because the scriptwriter, now that he knows that I do a lisp, he loves putting in as many S's as possible. So it's a challenge. I think the show would actually do really well on Toonami, just because it's an anime, but it also has so much Western influence. It's very comic book influenced. And it's so unique. The art style is really unique, and just the writing of it is really unique. Everything about it is so, it's so cool to see. It feels like anime and Marvel meet, you know? It's just really fun. I think it would do really well. I hope it does end up on there. That'd be awesome. I mean, not that I care, because I don't have cable.
Just pretend you're like, yeah. Yeah,
that's
great. This is a bit of a personal question, but there's this level of chemistry that I've noticed that I don't see often in acting whenever I hear you and J. Michael Tatum pair up in roles. And I'm wondering how the two of you click, not just as actors, but friends and comrades outside of the recording booth.
I adore him in all ways. He's so awesome. I think the fact that we both directed each other on lead roles helps, because we know each other's voices really well. But you're right, even in life, we're really good friends. I introduced him to his current boyfriend, and they're super in love and super cute. You're welcome, world. But yeah, we just get along really well. We're both musicians, and kind of grew up in a classical school and know a lot about classical theory, and we kind of bonded over that. And he's just great. I mean, he's much more, we have a lot in common, but we're also very, very opposite, personality-wise. We are a lot like Lawrence and Holo in Spice and Wolf. Our relationship is very similar to that, minus the romance. Black Butler is really fun for us, but as far as, I think the two roles, I think he would agree, the roles that, kind of match up with how we are together in life is definitely Spice and Wolf. Yeah.
Great. I know you just mentioned directing, and I know you've gone director, voice actor. What made you decide to direct and then go back to voice acting?
I only directed full-time for a couple years, and it was probably the greatest thing I could have ever done just as an actor, to see the other side. It felt like I was in an acting master class, because I got to direct so many amazing actors and kind of getting to see that's why you get cast all the time. I see. So it was really helpful in that regard. But it also just took up so much time and took a lot of time away from acting. And so I wanted to see if I could do the whole acting full-time, and so I tried it, and I preferred it just because, you got to do a lot more different stuff. And as far as when I go back to directing, I'm usually just a music director. Sometimes I'll help people with assistant directing, if they just need somebody to fill in, but the only other directing that I still will do very intensely is the music directing, because I love it. I would venture to say I might like music directing even more than I like acting in anime. I think it's so fun getting to adapt the lyrics. It's like a puzzle, trying to figure out how to make the translation work, like still be honor the translation and the original intent, but then also try to make it sound poetic and match rhythmically and make sense, and then getting to direct the singers on it and just kind of like work with people who may not necessarily have a musical background or get to work with people who have degrees in music. It's like such a wide range of different types of people I get to work with, and it's just really fun. I just like it a lot. It's awesome. I just recently finished music directing on another show that I can't talk about, It was one of those, it was a very intense like turnaround, like really quick turnaround, and it just kind of solidified in my mind like, oh my god, I love doing this so much.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it makes me really happy.
I was wondering if you could give fans a little tease of the One Piece dub when it comes to the time skip. I believe Funimation is going to release the first part of that. Like, it's crazy to think that we finally reached the time skip in English. So I was wondering if you could give fans of One Piece a little like tidbit of like what to expect from that release.
I know that what you can expect from Chopper is like basically, so like at the time skip, essentially everyone trained, you know, like everyone got stronger. And I guess Chopper did that, but I think he more just trained on how to be even more adorable, because like all of his outfits are cuter, and like everything he does is just cute. Like he just gets progressively cuter and cuter and cuter. So that's what you get to expect from Chopper.
All right, great. So thanks everyone for being here today. Thank you, Brita.
Thank you.